Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 263 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And wish you a happy impeachment. Or maybe it's a merry impeachment. It's a debate on Twitter. I'm not sure which one's going to win. So as we all know by now, a week before Christmas, it's an early gift. Congress has impeached Trump on two counts. First was abuse of power. Second, obstruction of Congress. And no surprise here. I think we knew this was coming, but it still feels kind of good. Now, Nancy Pelosi has handled this, I won't say flawlessly, but I will say beautifully. And when people attempted to cheer in Congress, she shut it down. And she said, this is not something to be cheered. It's a horrible thing, which is true. The entire Trump presidency is a horrible thing. And the votes went along party lines, although two Democrats voted against it, and one of them, right after he voted, switched to being a Republican. We're not going to talk about that. Yeah, we will. Jeff Van Drew voted against it and then became a Republican. Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii voted present. If you voted present in this vote about impeachment, then you weren't really present, were you? But anyway, that's how the votes went down. Now, we know the next step is it goes to the Senate. And Nancy Pelosi said she's holding off on sending the articles to the Senate until she sees how the Senate is going to handle the trial. Unfortunately, we already know how the Senate's going to handle the trial, because Mitch McConnell has already said that the Senate's going to end this, they're going to vote against it, they're going to stop it. And he's going so far as to meeting with the Trump White House and Trump people to see the best way to end this. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a trial where the judge or lead prosecutor goes to the defendant and says, how can we get rid of this? That's amazing to me. Now, I posted that on Facebook and I read the comments, and I know better. I know you're not supposed to read the comments, but I was just curious. So a bunch of the comments were right-wing people saying it's the same as the Democrats are doing in the House. They already decided Trump was guilty before the impeachment. How much proof does a Republican need? It's almost like a joke. It's like, what else you need? What else do you need? What else do you need to see? So we had, first of all, you had the whistleblower saying that he or she overheard the phone call where Trump was asking Ukraine for assistance on Biden to bring him down for the next election. Then you had pretty much everybody who either was there or read the transcript, diplomats, administrators, et cetera, a parade. A virtual parade of witnesses went to went in front of Congress and testified, both in closed door hearings and open hearings on the floor, saying various versions of, yes, Trump made this deal. Trump told me to go along with it. Trump told me to cover it up. Trump had this talk with Ukraine over and over. We kept hearing the same thing. Then they brought in legal scholars to explain why this was illegal and why this was wrong. And still, Trump supporters are sitting there, yeah, but what proof do you have? What more proof do you need? It's funny, these same people denied the Barack Obama birth certificate. It's like this alternate reality where they're like, we want proof. Well, here's your proof. No, that proof isn't real. Barack Obama, and I hated that he did this, as many people did, he actually lowered himself to showing his birth certificate to these idiots. And they were like, it's fake. You made it yourself. So it doesn't matter. So when they keep saying, what else you got? So this is the difference between the House and the Senate. Now, you can accuse the House of being partisan, but truth, like not alternative facts, but real truth, is on the side of the House as far as this being partisan. This is not partisan. The partisan, if justice is partisan, if truth if reality is partisan, and then it's partisan. No, this is not partisan. They have actual, a parade of witnesses. That's the thing. It wasn't just one. Fiona Hill did it with a British accent. You know it's true when it comes with a British accent. Something about that, it just sounds more intelligent. It sounds more like you're being talked down to by someone who knows more than you, which in this case was true. So, and I'll tell you another thing. People ask about Trump jokes, and they ask all of us comics about Trump jokes. I had a great night in New York where I got to talk to Michelle Wolf. Michelle Wolf, if you don't know, is the comedian who did the White House correspondent dinner that shut down White House correspondent dinners, right? The Trump administration couldn't take it after Michelle ripped on him. But anyway, even she said that, you know, people ask her to do Trump stuff and we're tired of it. We're all tired. It's the same thing, okay? How much can we talk about? How much can I talk about his buffoonery or his incompetence or his ignorance of affairs? But when it came to this, this is when, and I just realized this in thinking about it, when I really got tired of doing the jokes was with this Ukraine scandal, going to Ukraine for help against Biden, because that's treason. Going to a foreign country for help against an American citizen, in my book, which happens to also match legal scholars, just saying, that's treason. So I stopped joking because that wasn't funny to me. Betraying the Constitution, betraying the United States of America. Not that the racism, the misogyny, the idiocy and all that, but wasn't, you know, equally unfunny. But I could make fun of that, but somehow I couldn't do the treason. But now I got to talk about this because, you know, I'm proud of the Congress for the impeachment. And again, the joke, what more proof do you need? There were even Fox News hosts and correspondents who said Trump was guilty about this. One of the funniest tweets, and there's been a lot of funny tweets, please check out Dr. Wallace. Please follow George Wallace on Twitter. He's hilarious. He tweeted about it. Shout out to everyone not convicted of extorting a foreign government for help against their enemies. Love that one. But there was, I think it was a Daily Show joke that showed the news yesterday where CNN, Trump has been impeached, MSNBC, Trump is impeached, and Fox News, some crazy stat about, I don't even know, it had nothing to do with impeachment. I'm sorry, I don't remember all these things. I don't have everything written down in front of me. It was funny. Look up the Daily Show. By the way, Trevor Noah is killing it. Can we agree on that? Trevor Noah is killing it on a lot of levels. So that's why I wasn't doing Trump jokes, because I was tired of him, but now I'm going to have to do them. And speaking of, and this is, here's something consistent about Donald Trump. Whenever you have him in the midst of one scandal, he's got another one going on. It's like there's never, it's never just one thing. So one thing's always trying to cover up something else. So in the midst of all of this, in the midst of being impeached, the New York Attorney General, and we knew about this, a New York Attorney General charged him with misusing the money from the so-called charity. So, so in court, he had to pay $2 million in court-ordered damages for the money he stole from his charity. He used this money. You remember, he had a painting made of himself, and he spent money on his lawyers, and he spent money on his campaign. So he had to pay back that $2 million. And, like, that's not even, you know, we're in the midst of impeaching him for all of that. So this isn't even covered. That's what's amazing. Like, no matter what he's doing, something else is going on and you can't cover it all. So, yeah. So he's been sued by New York Attorney General. The Trump Foundation was sued and now must pay out $2 million in charity. They have to actually give the money to charities as opposed to, you know, he heard charity begins at home and took it literally. And speaking of charity and billionaires, so Larry Page gave $400 million in Christmas donations. Larry Page is the co-founder of Google, if you had any idea, if you didn't know who he was. And to give you an idea about how much he's worth, they say he's worth about $26 billion. So he's been giving away money every Christmas. 2015, it was $94 million. 2017, $180 million. Now he's up to $400 million. And you're like, that's great. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? A billionaire gives money to charity. Well, not so fast. What he's doing is he's putting the money into these donor-advised funds. So the donation technically counts as a contribution to a foundation. And, you know, if you give out 5% of your money, you get to write that off in your taxes, which when you have $26 billion, that's a lot of money. So $400 million seems like a lot. But the money is given to these foundations, and the foundations are run by the people who give the money. And there's no requirement that the money goes to needy nonprofit organizations. So what you do is you give the money to the donor-advised funds, and they can just hold the money in the fund. Now, they can't give the money back to you, but they do just hold the money. They don't give the money away to charities as you would expect, you know. And so in 2017, the Carl Victor Page Memorial Foundation gave $1,000 to the American Cancer Society, which is nice. I got $26 billion. I'll give them a grand. gave $100,000 to the New Venture Fund and $800,000 to offer free flu shots to students in Oakland. So that didn't come anywhere near. Now, it's good. $800,000 for free flu shots. That's good. But that didn't come anywhere near the 5%. So what he did was give $100 million to the National Philanthropic Trust and another $80 million to the Schwab Charitable, two giants that run DAFs for their clients. So technically, Page no longer controlled the money. He merely advised the money. You see, he's advising the money in the fund. And what he's advising them to do is not give it to any actual charities. I don't know. Obviously, I have no idea what it's like to be a billionaire. And billionaires are whining that there is a backlash against them. Well, perhaps if they stopped being scumbags, perhaps if they didn't always take the lowest possible road, like just, you know what? Give away, you got $26 billion, okay? So this is like saying you have $26 and we're asking you to give 40 cents to charities. Do you understand? That's what we're asking. So you got $26 billion and they're asking you to give away $400 million to actual charities. Is that really going to hurt? Are you ever even going to notice? Did I do that math right? $26? Yeah, it wouldn't be $4, because if you had $26 and you gave away $4, it would be $4 billion, right? So yeah, I did the math, right? Yeah, 40 cents. Yeah. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away now. Hey, that's a song. I should write that. I don't understand these people. I never will. It's like the Walton family treating their employees like garbage. Each Walton is worth billions of dollars. If they took $1 billion, paid for everybody who works at Walmart to have health insurance, they'd never notice. they would never notice. There's nothing you can't buy. If you've got multiple billions of dollars, there's nothing you can't buy with $1 billion less. And this is why there is backlash against billionaires. And you can call it socialism or whatever you want to call it, but it's actually just, how about we call it humanity? How about we call it being human? So there's that. Merry Christmas. And I'm only doing this now because I don't want to end this podcast, okay, on a total downer. Like, I don't want it to be totally horrible. Yes, we did have a big up. Did I mention happy impeachment? 15 horses were shot and killed in the woods in eastern Kentucky for no reason. These horses run kind of wild. There's been 30 horses running through Pike County, just some, you know, empty land near a strip mine in eastern Kentucky for no reason. Just their horses. Somebody shot 15 of them. You shot 15 horses dead and just left them there. What the hell? What kind of scum people are out there? Sorry about this repeated horns. Can't control what's out the window. This isn't the greatest recording. This is another iPhone in my hotel room recording. I'm in beautiful Grand Rapids. I want you to know it was 11 degrees last night, but don't worry about me because tonight will be a nice balmy 25. It's all good. I love Dr. Grins. I love Grand Rapids. It's all good. Anyway, shot the horses. Why? No reason. Just because. And that's just sad. That's a $1,500 reward for this piece of shit, and we hope they find him. A story I'm not going to get into because there's no conclusion. I just want to mention it. A girl was kidnapped in the Bronx, and you probably saw the video. Two guys jumped out of a car, snatched her. It turns out that it seems to be fake. It seems to be a setup. Her family's from Honduras. She didn't want to go back to Honduras, although her family's going back. She claims her parents are strict. The reason I'm not going to go into this, because we don't know yet what the motive was, and I don't want to even try to suggest a conclusion, because I have no idea what was going on there. But it's a shame. And I was on the Young Turks, and Brooke Thomas, who's great, and she's part of the Turks, she said that, you know, one of the things you got to wonder is what was going on with her family that she would do this, right? What would inspire something so horrible as to fake a kidnapping? And then how do you get people to go along with you on a fake? It's a mess. So we'll see how that one plays out. Okay, finally. And I said I wasn't going to end on a downer, so I'm going to try to give you some good advice. You know me. I care. I care. And I try to help you when I can. This goes out more to the men than to the ladies. Fellas, stay away from exercise equipment for gifts, okay? Just stay away. Now, we all know about the Peloton thing. I've been talking about Peloton for years. You'd have to be an idiot to get your woman an exercise bike for Christmas. Now it's coming out how bad the Peloton commercial is. The poor woman looks terrified. Basically, she says, my husband bought me a Peloton a year ago, and he scared me into riding it every day for a year, and I hope I'm in good enough shape for his approval. She was in good enough shape at the beginning of the commercial. Forget about it, the end, and her fat, lazy-ass husband sitting on the couch or doing whatever he's doing. So Peloton lost over $1 billion in business on that ad, justifiably so, because you got to be an idiot to say, baby, I've been with you all year, and you know what you need? An exercise bike. No, but it's not the only dumb gift. See, there was another boyfriend, and he thought it'd be a good idea for him and his lady to share Fitbits. Well, you get a Fitbit, I'll get a Fitbit. We'll share Fitbits, we'll work out together, we'll run, and we'll live like a TV commercial. Which is a great idea, except when she was home, and his Fitbit spiked at 4 a.m. because that's when he was laying up with his side piece getting busy. Yeah, you see, it monitors your heart rate all the time, stupid. All the time. So when his heart rate went up in the middle of the night, now they say often with a Fitbit, these things, it might be serious. It might be something like a nightmare or even a heart attack. But nope, this kid wasn't having nightmares, wasn't having heart attacks. He was having a little side piece action. Got caught 4 a.m. Fellas, go to Jared's. Go to Jared's. Stay away from the exercise aisle at Christmas time. All right. I know it's tempting. I know it's shiny. I know it sounds like a good idea. I know it looks good on the commercial. No, there is no exercise equipment that will not get you in trouble at Christmas time. Stay away from it. All right. That's it. That's all I got. Merry impeachment. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa, happy Hanukkah, happy holidays. Where am I going to be? I'm going to be home at Christmas. I always do the Christmas Eve show at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, which is super fun. And the weekend prior to New Year's, the 28th, 29th, and 30th, I will be in St. Louis at Helium. And then New Year's Eve, I'm going to be in Raleigh at Goodnight. So, looking forward to that. Looking forward to a little bit of break and then a little bit of work, which is my life. I hope you have a happy holiday, a safe holiday. Don't drink and drive. Use an Uber, use a Lyft, use one of the free services that'll get you home from that Hollywood party. You know I do the Fear Not podcast, and drinking and driving is one of the most dangerous things out there. That includes smoking weed. Don't smoke weed and drive. Man, you know if I'm high, I'm only driving at 5 miles an hour. What harm can I do? Stop it. If you get loaded, get a ride. Go out, have fun, enjoy the family, enjoy getting away from the family. Enjoy a little time with the family and more time away from the family. Buy her a nice gift. Don't get it from the exercise aisle. Women like shiny. That would be my advice. Love you. Thank you for listening. Who's paying attention? You are.